The NBA season is here.
And yes, we cover the NFL, but you better believe we're going to hit the NBA just as hard. For detailed analysis, ridiculous convo, and all my De'Aaron Fox love,
I promise we won't just talk about De'Aaron Fox.
For all things NBA, you best tune in to Stay Hot.
Subscribe today on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Yes, we are live, and do you know, I was this close of recording the show last night in advance and then just posting it for everyone, but we ended up doing it live. Welcome, everyone. It is October 29th, 2022. This is the Don Tony Show. I am Don Tony, as always. Hope everybody is enjoying your weekend. Here in New York, it is a very surreal anniversary. 10 years ago this weekend, Superstorm Sandy hit our area. And, you know, it obviously affected me and my family big time. And, you know, over the years, people have asked me to post public my home video of what the damage did to us directly, and I've never made that public. I posted on Patreon many, many years ago, just to show that some of the stories I told, I was not exaggerating at all. But I think tomorrow on the sit down, I think I'm going to share some of that footage. You know, to think what went down, and they call it a 100-year storm. They weren't kidding. I have 60 seconds of video I'm going to share with you now. This was 10 years ago today. This was the day before the storm, and we thought the worst scenario was a little bit of water damage and a lot of mud. And you'll see how stupid I was. Just look at my shoes. And this was 10 years ago today. I know it's not, you know, 1080, but it'll have to do.
I just tried to walk over there. As you can see, I made a really big mistake.
Stupid.
This is low tide right now, and what's happening is that when the water comes up, see the doorway? Right now, the doorway is buried by about 2 feet of sand and mud. And you can see it's almost covering my windows. When it hits high tide today, every time the water comes in, the mud comes along with it, and my windows are going to be, the mud is and the sand is going to be hiding my windows. So the storm shutters prevents it from shattering.
So we thought.
I didn't realize how deep it was.
My father thought that that one was going to stop the storm. Yeah, well, 24 hours later. Would you like to see what my apartment looked like 24 hours later? There you go. So tomorrow, Sunday, I'm going to share that video. Might be a little bit therapeutic as well, because I've talked about it but never showed it to all of you. But anyway, you're not here for that today. We got to talk about Uncle Howdy, and soon, Uncle Harper. We got to talk about the EVPs. Oh, welcome everyone to 2020. They are not only throwing those fucking crumbs, it is so out of control. CM Punk's dog was hit, lost 2 teeth. CM Punk's dog was not hit. CM Punk is a psycho, didn't care about his dog. Do you see what is going on the last couple of days? I can't wait. I can't wait until this Thursday. This Thursday, Podcast Forbidden Door 3 goes down. Look, JD is not one of those reporters doing that. Let's make that clear. But, oh, it is going to be really interesting to see our viewpoints. Is the media and the dirt sheets, are they the ones hurting AEW more than CM Punk or anywhere else? I think so. Chris Jericho, locker room leader. Bryan Danielson, locker room leader. John Moxley, locker room leader. What do those three guys have in common, especially Chris Jericho, since Chris Jericho has already said this publicly? Guys, gals, shut the fuck up. Stop leaking out shit to the media. Malakai Black doesn't appreciate that some of his very personal conversations with AEW management leaked to the media. Have you paid attention to what has gone on in the last 7 days with this media? And my new toxic word, originally it was NDA. You know, recently it was NDA. Now my new toxic word is camp. Camp. Oh, the CM Punk camp told us. The Kenny Omega camp told us. The Young Bucks camp told us. Yeah, the investigation word. Do you see how suddenly the investigation is over? It was never fucking an investigation. It just Tony Khan didn't have a clue how to handle the legalities of CM Punk and his attorneys more than anything else. And as I said, the night of that media scrum, the EVPs will win out on this. The media will take the EVP's stand 99.9% of the time. Because do you think CM Punk, if he remained in AEW, would have sent crumbs to all these people who fancy themselves to be journalists? Now what is happening is those EVPs are not only sending crumbs to those journalists, they're now sending nails. And they are now currently putting those final nails in the coffin of CM Punk and AEW. Now, Thursday, when myself and JD from New York have our episode, Forbidden Door, this is the format. A little cheap plug, but I think you'll all really enjoy this. You know, we asked everyone, we invited you to send some questions in advance just to get a pulse as far as what you guys want us to talk about. Now, we decided not to individually shout out or acknowledge any specific question because some of you that we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. What we decided to do is we looked at all the questions and we came up with a list of topics that you'd like, we think you'd like to hear us debate and discuss. And most of these topics, I could tell you, we are on complete opposites of the coin. So the topics that we have scheduled for this Thursday is the Ariel Helwani, Tony Khan interview. I know JD defends Tony Khan wholeheartedly. I take the side of Ariel Helwani 100%. Tony Khan, respected leader or man-child? Can AEW's backstage drama and infighting ever be repaired? Are news sites and dirt sheets causing unrepairable damage to AEW? CM Punk versus the AEW EVPs, which side are you on? Should CM Punk and WWE negotiate a return? Should Bray Wyatt feud with Roman Reigns prior to or at WrestleMania? Triple H rehiring and the current push of several Vince McMahon releases. How are those rehirings going? How do you feel about some of the people on TV? You know, is it working? Or is it possible that maybe Vince McMahon may have been right about some of these? No. I'm not teasing that Karrion Kross is a problem. He was one from yesterday that, you know, I took a screenshot from. MJF, 1-1-2024. See with AEW or WWE. The topics of Omos, Braun Strowman, Alexa Bliss, and others. I know JD and I feel completely different about those people. NXT shifting from the black and gold to the developmental. The right move or the wrong move? Ava Reigns, NXT TV debut and joining the schism. WWE trimming their 2023 premium live event schedule and removing some gimmick-themed events like Hell in a Cell. How to get AEW Dynamite to 1.5 million viewers. And maybe a few more topics. And obviously, anybody that super chats that night, you will get top priority. You'll get our attention. Yes, we're doing this as a business as well. We'd like to make a little bit of fabulous moolah. It's going to be epic, man. And we're going to go as long as needed. We're not going to rush it. I hope all of you tune in. It is going to be an episode you'll remember for a very long time. All right, now, what do you guys want to talk about first? You want to talk about Uncle Howdy? This is for our live friends out there. You want to talk about Uncle Howdy? Do you want to talk about Swerve Strickland basically taking a pair of pliers and shoving it up Billy Gunn's daddy ass? You want to talk about maybe Busted Open Radio provoking Tony Khan? Yeah, I did a little bit of investigating, and I found something very, very interesting. Talk about Liv. What's there to talk about Liv? Why, she was doing stuff with Chucky. Oh, well, we could talk about SmackDown. I mean, what do you want me to get into first? SmackDown, Rampage. You gotta talk fast. You know what? I'm gonna decide the first one. Let's talk about Uncle Howdy. Now, you don't have to worry, everyone. You know, some people don't like the deep dives that we were doing. I absolutely love it because I am ecstatic that Bray Wyatt is back. And it is fun to uncover things and recognize some little Easter eggs and things that other people don't. You know, in the beauty of 2023, the technology is all you got to do is take your mouse and just move the slider up a couple of minutes and you don't have to hear it or watch it. But luckily yesterday, we don't have much as far as Easter eggs or QR codes. We did get a QR code yesterday. And just to show you now what that QR code led to, it led to this picture. Liar, 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 liar. Bray Wyatt is a liar. Bray Wyatt is a liar. Liar, liar, liar. But obviously, the big reveal yesterday was Uncle Howdy. There you go. And look, I know that it ticks off people. I know it rubs people the wrong way. But I take pride not only doing this shit for almost 26 years now, but period. Getting things right more than anybody else out there. Getting things right 99.9% of the time. Believe me, when I get things wrong, it's a national holiday. And everybody comes out of the woodwork. You were wrong. You were wrong. You were wrong. Look, this is not always a news show. It's an opinion show. If we get little news tidbits here and there, I will share it with you. But last week I said, and I'm not replaying last week's show, no worries, but last week I said, that Uncle Howdy that we saw last week, that was a mask. And Bray Wyatt is under the mask. Because controversy to all those sites, those newsletters, who are now so fucking embarrassed that they were wrong, that they still got to kind of tease it and tweak it and manipulate it and gradually move the needle so they don't look as stupid as they do. This is Bray Wyatt feuding with himself. What you see on the screen is a visual representation of Bray Wyatt's mind. Yesterday, we saw Uncle Howdy. We saw Uncle Howdy talking, and it was a mask. Exactly what I thought it was last week. Now, the question is, who is under the Uncle Howdy mask? You go online, people will try to convince you that it's Bo Dallas. People will try to convince you that it's others. They have to, because for about 4 weeks, they clickbaited you and jerked you off with this Wyatt 6 reveal faction, Grayson Waller, Joe Gacy. Yeah, Joe Gacy, yeah. Ava Rain is going to become the leader of the schism and kick Joe Gacy out so he could be Huskus the Pig, wrestling under rubber. So stupid, man. So, Pete, but hey, you keep clicking on their shit. Props to all of them. Props to all of them. I hope they make trillions of dollars out there. You keep getting suckered. Not you, but people out there keep getting suckered. You deserve it. So now, who was under the mask yesterday? I'm going to stick with what I said last week and what I said 2 weeks ago. when I said the six shades of Bray. Wyatt Six is six personalities of Bray Wyatt. Uncle Howdy is Bray Wyatt. It is another personality of Bray Wyatt. Now, I can't show you the video because I'll get myself in some copyright trouble, but I am going to play the audio of what Uncle Howdy said. And I think this is better that I play just the audio. You know why? It forces you to put all your attention to the voice, not what you're seeing on the screen, no QR codes, no max headroom like video effects. You get to focus only on the voice. Listen to the cadence. Listen to the laugh. Listen to all the phrases. And you will realize almost immediately that that voice you're listening to is Bray Wyatt. Let's check some of it out, shall we?
Who am I? I'm just the ghost of the man who sold the world, of course. You are a fool. You killed the world!
All right. You convinced yet? There's a little more. It's Bray Wyatt. It's Bray Wyatt under the mask. This is not rocket science. It's just people out there don't know how to fix the massive failure that they reported the wrong thing. So here's a little more of that audio.
You sent him away. Now the reason why you are just a shell of what you once were. And I say to you, revel in what you are.
Revel in what you are, everyone. You killed the world. Revel in what you are. Those are what you're listening to is all of those teasers that we saw in the past. Remember the lead up to Bray Wyatt's return? Uncle Howdy is repeating everything that Bray Wyatt said leading up to this return. The shirts, remember? All right, here's the final part of it.
For you, sir. For you, all the liars. You are liars. You claim you don't wear a mask.
If you do not wear a mask.
We both know that's not true, don't we? I can see you. You will never be able to hide from me. Your Uncle Howdy.
Easy, easy peasy. Bray Wyatt under a mask. Now, I saw this come in right before we went live, so it's a great spot for me to throw this out there. Thank you very much, Just Joe. Just some lunch money for nailing Uncle Howdy as a mask and Bray Wyatt wearing it. Thank you. I always love lunch money. My question is, who do I think will be under the Uncle Harper mask? I'm going to stick with what I've been saying. Uncle Harper will be Bray Wyatt as well. And Uncle Harper will be the good. Believe me when I tell you, you know, Uncle Harper, you know, that is a tribute to Luke Harper, Brody Lee. I assure you that there's no way that an Uncle Harper character is going to be the personification of evil. That is going to be, and you know what? One of the most beautiful outfits that Brody Lee wore was that white outfit. Now, I have not seen any prototypes of what this mask is going to look like. I haven't heard anything. All we know is that WWE trademarked Uncle Harper. But my immediate thoughts, just thinking about it, I expect that mask to be bright. It's going to be positive. And we may see some white as far as the colors, almost like an angel. And I think this is going to be the battle. As I wrote in my synopsis, I think 3 weeks ago, Uncle Howdy versus Uncle Harper. I think that's where they're going with this. So that's what we got yesterday. And look, I'm looking forward to it. I do want to kill a rumor that is floating around. I want to kill this rumor. And look, in the world of pro wrestling, things could change on the fly. But I will tell you right now, the reports that people are claiming that WWE, I think the word that people used was imminent, that WWE is imminent in having Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns feud because they underestimated the popularity and how excited people are amongst Bray Wyatt's return. Just think about that comment for a minute and you would want to punch yourself in the face, punch yourself in the ears, punch yourself in the eyes. People did not realize WWE underestimated how popular Bray Wyatt's return has been. The fucking net has been talking about Wyndham all year long. And there is no positive end of Bray Wyatt facing Roman Reigns. Do you think Bray Wyatt is going to defeat Roman Reigns? I certainly don't think so. You know, one thing that I think a lot of people forget, and believe me, I am one of the biggest Bray Wyatt fans out there. You know, if you tune into my shows, I don't need to prove that. The amount of merch and collectible stuff that I have is surreal sometimes. But let's also be honest. Bray Wyatt is not the most spectacular wrestler in the ring. And, you know, for Bray Wyatt to get in there, even if people think they're righting a wrong, what do you do? You're going to do mind games with Roman Reigns? You just think about the scenario. It would make no sense. So why people are reporting this, obviously clickbait get you to tune in, but why people are reporting this is because they think, oh my God, look how insanely over he is. You got to put the belt on him. Remember when Tony D'Angelo made his NXT in-ring debut, people were saying that night, put the NXT heavyweight title on him ASAP, sooner than later. Some people even photoshopped the title around his waist. Tony D'Angelo. You know, just, you can't just take popularity, especially Roman Reigns' championship reign over the last couple of years. So listen, everyone, I'm telling you, WWE is, by the way, let's also add this fact. Bray Wyatt is back now, what, a month? About a month. Remember when I said, let's revisit this 3 months from now? Uncle Harper hasn't even been introduced yet. It took them 2 weeks, going on three, to show us that Uncle Howdy is a mask. And it's another personality of Bray Wyatt. By the time it gets to a point where Roman Reigns or Bray Wyatt can wrestle for a championship, this storyline has to be answered, concluded, ready to go to the next step. You think Uncle Howdy's going to convince Bray Wyatt to go after Roman Reigns? Oh, Uncle Harper is going to sit. I mean, are people paying attention to the storyline? The storyline is a non-wrestling storyline right now. Ultimately, someone is going to have to come out there and attack Bray Wyatt or the opposite. And that is when Bray Wyatt returns to the ring. Does it feel like Bray Wyatt is going to be wrestling anytime soon? Do you see him wrestling in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? Do you think, oh, tonight Bray Wyatt returns to the ring? You know, even if he does, what is he going to, who's he going to face? Mansoir? And then the lights go off and the screen pops up again. You know, just think about it. How do you get from this current storyline to Bray Wyatt wrestling Roman Reigns? Imminent. Google the definition of imminent. Also Google the definition of asinine. That is fake news. Thursday, like I said, JD and I will debate and discuss if these two guys should fight each other, period, between now or even at WrestleMania. That may be a conversation where we both agree upon. I still am with Cody Rhodes, or the long shot, Sami Zayn, which I don't see happening. By the way, Sami Zayn, how awesome was that yesterday with the Bloodline? Yesterday on SmackDown, you know, we had the Brawling Brutes beat Sami Zayn and Jey Uso. And as a result, we have a title match coming at Crown Jewel. By the way, yesterday they announced two title matches at Crown Jewel. We might as well get those matches out of the way now, so at least you're aware of them. First off, the Usos will be defending the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships against Ridge Holland and Butch. Now, I think we know, obviously, the outcome there. The Usos are not dropping those titles anytime soon. As much as I would love to see Butch holding some gold, it's not happening. We'll get to Sheamus in a minute because we got some really, really cool news regarding Sheamus. Another title match that they added yesterday to Crown Jewel is this one. And the match itself is going to be good, obviously, but some people are kind of questioning it. And that is Bianca Belair defending the Raw Women's Championship in a last woman standing match against Bayley. Now, Nikki Cross, does she make an appearance at Crown Jewel? Very possible. But we talked about it the last 2 weeks. You know, Bianca Belair and Bayley was coming to a conclusion. Remember that nice tribute that Bayley wrote on social media Monday about Bianca Belair? You know, and, you know, to have Nikki Cross come out, especially that, you know, that was not a very good episode of Raw, and now you announce this match, I don't know, it just feels ass backwards. I would not have had that match on Monday. I would not have had that match on Monday. I would have waited a week and then have Nikki Cross, maybe you have Nikki Cross make her return as Nikki Cross at Saudi Arabia. What she did on Monday, she could have done in Saudi Arabia this coming Saturday, a week from today. It just feels ass backwards, in my opinion. I personally feel that Monday, Bayley versus Bianca should have concluded, or at the worst, you put Nikki Cross in the mix as well, and you make it a three-way. But I'm not saying this match is going to stink. It just feels a little ass backwards. I would have pulled back a little bit of Bayley and Bianca the last 2 weeks on TV. I would have announced that match, and then you could have had, you know, some other incidents happen on TV. You know, to have two, we just had Extreme Rules, and we had the match Monday, and we're doing it again just when we thought that there was a conclusion to this feud. So that's what we got. But the news yesterday coming out of SmackDown was the Bloodline segment after the tag team match. Now, the story leading up to Roman Reigns hitting the ring yesterday is that there's obviously problems within the Uso camp, in particular Jey Uso and Sami Zayn. And they're in the ring. Roman Reigns comes out. And yesterday was one of those nights where, you know, you don't mind if somebody breaks character. You know, a lot of you will know and remember that infamous moment. It's on that, after that DVD, like the moments after Raw goes off the air. I can't remember what it was called. I actually own it. And one of the most infamous moments is wrestlers trying to get Undertaker to break character. Especially one time that they were trying to get the Undertaker to do the Spin-a-Rooney. And then Vince McMahon did the Spin-a-Rooney and Booker T and Triple A. Everybody did the Spin-a-Rooney. They were trying to get the Undertaker to do it. Getting the Undertaker to break character sometimes was almost like a deep challenge in a locker room. You know, obviously on TV, you don't want to keep doing that, you know, because it kind of like fucks things up. You know, you think the Undertaker wants to always have people trying to get him to break character on TV. You know, some, you got to pick your spots. Yesterday, I mean, Sami Zayn, You know, just the way you look at his face, you look at his look, this smirk that he has. I mean, you just look at him and you want to laugh. And when Roman Reigns came out and he wants to address the elephant in the room, Sami Zayn gets the mic and he's blaming it on Jey Uso. And, you know, he wants to bury the hatchet with Jey Uso. Jey Uso grabs the mic. And right now, you know, regular, you know, good segment, Jey Uso calling Sami Zayn a fake ass oos. And, you know, Sammy gets the mic back and he's like, Jay, what's the problem? You know, we're trying to make peace. You know, the tribal chief wants us to make peace. And Jey Uso flips out, gets, you know, loses it, grabs the mic back. He says, man, I don't give a damn what the tribal chief thinks. And you look around and Roman Reigns immediately, he's like this, with this pissed off look on his face. The crowd is chanting, you fucked up, you fucked up, you fucked up. So Sami Zayn, actually trying to calm things down, he grabs the mic and this is where it goes off the rails. Sami Zayn tells Roman, no, 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 he didn't mean it. You know, Jay just hasn't been himself lately. He hasn't been very oosy. And as soon as he said oosy, Roman Reigns starts losing it. He looks at the crowd. He's trying to hide the laugh. But Roman Reigns, to his credit, he decides to play along with it. So Roman Reigns, you know, he drops his anger towards Jey Uso and he's smirking a little bit. And, you know, Roman says, look, you guys better figure it out. And then he confronts Jay. And he looks at Jay. And now Jey Uso, look at Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn, he's got this look on his face like, yeah, I'm getting him to laugh. I got him. I got him. You look at Jimmy Uso in the background, and Jimmy Uso is hiding the smirk as well. We couldn't see Paul Heyman's reaction, and we could not see Solo Sikoa's reaction. But here's where Jey Uso is starting to lose it, because Roman Reigns is saying, if you don't figure it out, I'm going to remove that honorary for Sami Zayn, and he's going to be a full-blown oos. And he's fucking losing it. And then Roman Reigns goes to the crowd and he says, you know what? We're also going to change his name. And he's looking at Jay. He's like, you know what that name is? You know what we're going to call Sami? And he's just losing it, Jey Uso. He looks at Jay and he says, we're going to start calling him Sami Uso. Sami Uso. And he's just, Jimmy is laughing. Sami Zayn is laughing. Jey Uso's like, I wish somebody had a camera on Solo Sikoa. I would have loved to have seen his reaction. But Paul Heyman immediately takes the mic. And Paul Heyman is, you know, saying, you know, we're going to go to commercial. In 3, 2, 1, and we get a plug for Saudi Arabia. We get a little Bray Wyatt teaser. But, yeah, that was a fun segment yesterday. And, again, you know, it's non-wrestling, 15, 20 minutes. Do you care that it's not a match as long as you're entertained? You know, this is why, like, when I see people bitching and complaining about the amount of wrestling on a card, you know, when are people going to realize, especially in this day and age, you know, it's been entertainment for decades. You know, if something is good, you know, whether it's in the ring or not, just enjoy it. And yesterday, that made the whole night. It made the whole night. So it was really, really a lot of fun. But, you know, again, you don't see wrestlers breaking character all that much. Yesterday, watching Jey Uso was priceless. And again, you got to look at Sami Zayn's reaction in the background. He's laughing. He's hiding it. He's got that look on his face like, I gotcha. I gotcha. You know, it's a running joke with them. And it's fine. It's fine. You don't want to do it too much, though. Definitely don't want to do it too much. So later on, we had another segment where Roman Reigns was in the locker room, in his dressing room, and Paul Heyman is showing him some video footage of Logan Paul sparring, boxing in the ring. and Logan Paul looking really good. But, you know, Roman Reigns is like, he's had two matches. Why are you showing me this? And Paul Heyman is trying to plant the seed like all it takes is one punch. All it takes is one punch. But even the way Paul Heyman was talking to Roman Reigns in that segment, I felt like I needed to laugh. You know, just the way, it just felt different. My tribal chief. You know, but my tribal chief. It just, the way it came off yesterday, it just felt like it was intended for laughs. So 1 week from today, Saudi Arabia, I think it starts around 12 noon Eastern. I'm not sure. Now, as far as next week's programming, Saturday we will do a recap of Crown Jewel. Will there be an episode of the Don Tony Show next Saturday? No. We may make it Sunday. We may just skip a week with the Don Tony Show because remember, Thursday is the episode with JD from New York. We're going to be talking about all the news leading up to Thursday. We're also going to do probably some Crown Jewel predictions. So from Thursday to Saturday, how much news is going to break? I don't think there's going to be that much. So, you know, just stay tuned. And when we get closer the week, you know, I'll definitely keep everybody updated. Now, getting back to the Brawling Brutes and Sheamus. Now, we got some really good news. Number one, you know, we were concerned that maybe Sheamus did injure his arm last week. It ends up that he was written off TV for a reason. Now, if we would have paid a little bit more attention to the fiance of Sheamus, we probably would have been able to figure this out. But a couple of years ago, Sheamus got engaged to a woman by the name of Isabella Rivera, Revilla. And I think she lives in Brooklyn, New York. In fact, I think they got married in Brooklyn, New York yesterday or the day. Actually, yeah, yesterday. On her social media, which is kind of eerie because remember 10 years ago today was the beginning of Superstorm Sandy. 10 years ago yesterday, she had posted on social media that her ideal wedding date would be October 28th. Lo and behold, 10 years later, her wish was granted. Yesterday, Sheamus and Isabella were married. And if you look, yes, Drew McIntyre was the best man. And if you look to the far right, that is Miro, the Diva. Miro was there. A lot of WWE personnel were there. And really, really beautiful looking ceremony. Very, very happy for them. So, you know, congratulations. I did not get enough time to pull wedding pictures. This is not a very good one, but I figured you'd want to see it. So Sheamus, you know, got married and congratulations to him. He will now be on his honeymoon and that is why he is off TV right now. So good for him. Good for him. A lot of people got married in 2022, you know, including yours truly, but a lot of people got married in 2022. All right, just to wrap up SmackDown, we had a final vignette for the Viking Raiders. Now we will see them hit the ring once again, and Sarah Logan will be with them. New Day beat Maximum Male Models in a very quick match. Sonya Deville does a backstage interview talking about Ronda Rousey's open challenge for last night. And she said one person that won't accept that challenge is Liv Morgan, and basically, George, you know, throwing the bad words to Liv after losing in Extreme Rules. Well, Liv Morgan snaps, shows up, beats the fuck out of Sonya Deville once again. Yeah, there is a sticker in the background of the moth or whatever that is, the cocoon, the Bray Wyatt moth symbol. People think that that's associated with Liv Morgan, but she flips out. And then we find out next week we're going to have a no DQ match. I think a last woman standing, false count anywhere. It's going to be a wild brawl with Sonya Deville and Liv Morgan. That's going to take place next week. Braun Strowman cutting a promo on Omos leading to their match at Crown Jewel next week. We had Hit Row beating Legado del Fantasma. And I don't know how I feel about it. Remember, Hit Row only has two men. Swerve is busy in AEW shoving pliers up people's butts. Legado del Fantasma has 3 male members. Hit Row only has 2, so they teased a third member. I saw a few of you yesterday saying that, you know, why not make it Rey Mysterio? And I thought about it. It's a great idea because that could break out into Rey versus Santos. That's a match I've been talking about the last couple of weeks. I'd love to see. But, you know, the pick that they did, obviously it's a popular one amongst the fans, but I think that was to cover up some of the caca that we saw yesterday during that match. They ended up having Shinsuke Nakamura as their partner. You know, Shinsuke, it's odd. Tony D'Angelo reaches out to Shinsuke to take on Stax 2 weeks ago. Now Hit Row reaches out to Shinsuke to be their partner. Like, you know, you think of Tony D'Angelo. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Hey, Shinsuke, I need a favor. You know, I don't pitch a Hit Row. You're like, you know, wowie, wowie, this would be coolie, coolie. Shinsuke, you know, join us so we could beat I don't know. It just felt so random. But they had the match yesterday, and it was good. But little things catch my eye that really annoy the fuck out of me. Santos Escobar should be one of those guys that you don't want to embarrass at all right now. You want to keep this aura about him that there is just something extremely special about that guy, in my opinion. And look, you are going to lose matches. You know, remember, Triple H with the 50-50 booking. Yeah, that happens still. And I think people don't pay attention to it. But AJ Francis yesterday did a very impressive move. I thought it was great until I counted how many seconds this took. Look at your screen.
I'm Chris Long, the host of American Prodigies, Becoming Great. Join me each week as I take you inside some of the most fascinating NFL stories. New episodes every Thursday. Listen in wherever you get your podcasts. Presented by WynnBET.
AJ Francis is standing on the top rope. All right. Now, he's not going to walk the rope or anything like that. But look at Santos Escobar. He's just staring at him. Now, suspension of disbelief storyline, I would just shake the rope. I would just maybe drop his, you know, just swing his legs underneath him. He's just standing there looking. Now watch. AJ Francis has to do his Hit Row thing. He's got to do this Hit Row thing. And meanwhile, look at Santos Escobar. Frozen in time. He's still staring at him. Just watching him. Watching him. And then taking that. I didn't like it at all. I thought the finish was sloppy. I thought it made him look like a goof. And, you know, it got covered up because Shinsuke, you know, ends up getting the tag and he hits the Kinshasa. So, you know, oh, everything is good. You know, fans are happy. The good guys won. I did not like that yesterday, in my opinion. Did not like it. You know, if Santos Escobar was just selling that he was in a daze and he's not looking, but again, you just look at him and that motherfucker is just staring at him. Staring at him while Hit Row is doing their moves and everything. I just thought I didn't like it at all. Sorry. I didn't like it at all. Yesterday, we had an open challenge for Ronda Rousey's SmackDown Women's Championship. The news broke earlier in the day. I don't know who originally broke it. But a few people said that none other than Emma, Tennille Dashwood, was backstage at SmackDown. Now, interesting how nobody is bitching about the name Emma, but it ends up that Emma did come out. She made her return. She took on Ronda Rousey, and it was a decent match. I think Ronda Rousey, this might have been one of her best matches to date. Not because of what she was doing in the ring, but the way she was taunting, getting the fans pissed off. It's not going to be easy to get Ronda Rousey as a full-blown heel. But I thought yesterday they definitely went a long ways to do that. So Ronda Rousey, you know, beating Emma. Emma did not get embarrassed in any way. It's good to see her back. We've seen her for several years now in Impact Wrestling. So again, I watched some people, you know, yesterday, especially in the podcast world, who claim to cover Impact and watch Impact, and they're like, oh, Emma looks good. Like, what are you talking about? We watch Tenille Dashwood on TV almost every week. But interesting, you know, that she returned the way she did. I kind of like her better with the cocky attitude and the sunglasses, you know. And yes, she had them on, took them off. But my point is, I don't know if I would have brought her out as a clear baby face. You know, do I think she's going to do that Elaine, you know, Seinfeld type dancing stuff? I'm not even going to try it. No, I don't think they'll go that route. But one thing is for sure, she is really good in the ring. I still remember that last match she had. Wasn't it in NXT? She had a match in WWE right before she left. It almost felt, remember when we covered it, it almost felt like, you know, not that Emma went into business for herself, but she might have had too much offense. I don't remember the match. Some of you may remember, but I was trying to think about it last night. But she looked great yesterday. She looked great yesterday. The vibe, seeing her back in the WWE, was fine. And look, great addition to the roster. Great addition to the roster. Cannot complain whatsoever. We had a rather crappy backstage segment with LA Knight and Ricochet. It just fell flatter than flat. LA Knight, you know, bragging about himself. Ricochet shows up, you know, people like you, you know, if you brag, you're going to get, you know, somebody's going to do something about it. It just felt overly forced on Ricochet's part. And I'm a fan of Ricochet, you know, no question. We all love Ricochet, but that's obviously leading to a match next week, but it just, go back and watch it. You know, like you just want to get to Ricochet. It just, deesh. I don't know. LA Knight kind of embarrassed him. So, another backstage segment, Rey Mysterio ultimately getting attacked by Gunther, and we got a little teaser of the chops that are coming. You know, we love Rey Mysterio, but there's just something about Rey Mysterio when he yells out pain, when he's got that crying look on his face, whether it's because of Dominic or Sheamus or anywhere else in the past, Seth Rollins ripping his eye out. There's some guilty pleasure about watching Rey Mysterio suffer. I don't know what it is. I think back in the day when we used to talk about Hornswoggle, because Hornswoggle is the size of a small brat, that you kind of like have this guilty pleasure, like, hey, that brat does deserve to get slapped across the face once in a while. We don't condone hitting children. Hornswoggle is not a child. He just happens to be the size of a child. But Rey taking that chop yesterday, oh my God, what is coming in 2 weeks? Woof, woof, huff. So Rey gets attacked by Gunther. So next week on SmackDown, actually, no, it's next week. What am I saying? Next week, Rey versus Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. And we're going to have no DQ next week, Liv Morgan versus Sonya Deville. Then the closeout SmackDown, Bray Wyatt comes out. You know, hey, this is the real Bray Wyatt. This is me. Before he could really get into it, you know, he's talking about the fans and like, you know, the way they're treating him, he almost feels a little vulnerable that he has to do something really crazy. And before he can say anything else, screen lights up. And that's when we get the Uncle Howdy, as I showed you earlier. And Uncle Howdy, you're a liar. You claim you don't wear a mask, and we both know that's not true. I could see you. You'll never be able to hide from me, Uncle Howdy. That is Bray Wyatt under a mask. Bray Wyatt is feuding with his inner demons. That is the storyline. That is how they went off the air. And as I said earlier, that QR code that they showed, if you zapped it, it led to this picture calling Bray Wyatt a liar. So fly, Bray Wyatt. Howdy is not Bo Dallas or Barry Windham. First of all, you know, it's not your fault, but I invite anyone to go look at current pictures of Barry Windham. Not 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Look at current pictures of Barry Windham. I would love to see Barry Windham involved in this. Hell, some people thought Dutch Mantel because of the type of the mustache. Problem is, like I said last week, this was a mask. This was a mask. Everybody was saying it's not. I said last week it was a mask. It was a mask. Ultimately, it's got to lead to a person. But as I played for everyone about a half an hour ago, That voice, that is Bray Wyatt under a mask. And if Uncle Howdy debuts in the ring as a wrestler, the first time that son of a bitch cuts a promo and it no longer sounds like that, what we heard yesterday, people are going to throw it up, bring it up, show it, compare it. So this is Bray Wyatt battling his inner demons, the six shades of Bray. I get it. There's a lot of people out there with a lot of egg on their face who rolled with the Wyatt Six being a faction that the pig was going to wrestle and Grayson Waller. And people are left with a lot of egg on their face. This is pro wrestling. Bray Wyatt ultimately has to hit the ring. Bray Wyatt ultimately has to wrestle. How do you get to that point? That is up to WWE. That is up to Bray Wyatt. For now, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. Bray Wyatt is 10 minutes of a two-hour show. I'm not going to complain if that 10 minutes doesn't involve wrestling. But in the end, we want to see Bray Wyatt wrestle. We want to see Bray Wyatt succeed. We don't want to just have Bray Wyatt ultimately in talking segments because people will start complaining. I'm telling you, people will start complaining. But there's nothing wrong with it right now. I'm not complaining. This is introducing us to Bray Wyatt's mind and all the different demons in it. This is the six shades of Bray. That is what I coined it a month ago, and I'm sticking with it. And again, you listen to that audio. I mean, how do you not think that this is someone other than Bray Wyatt? Listen to it.
You killed the world!
Killed the world!
You sent him away. And now the reason why you are just a shell of what you once were.
The cadence, even the laugh. Is this the part with the laugh?
Who am I? I'm just the ghost of the man who sold the world, of course.
I mean, it's not rocket science. In the end, and I'm not saying this to piss off anybody, but in the end, everything that we've talked about with this storyline, characters, is 100% true. We have not gotten one thing wrong yet. Hell, people are still losing their shit saying, how did you predict Ava Rain? You know, I just looked at the eyes and I'm like, yeah, you know, they do look the same. You know, we knew that the person had a little pair of titties. You know, it's not hard. The problem is I think some people just overthink things too much. They expect this unbelievable storyline. WWE wants to keep it simple. This is the six shades of Bray, period. Again, I know a lot of people have a lot of egg on their face. Now, two other things we want to talk about with SmackDown. Two other things we got to point out. Shayna Baszler and WWE, they're not going to be a regular tag team. And no, Marina Shafir is not returning anytime soon. But yesterday we had Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey realign. And very, very cool to see. Now, be honest with you. I'm just talking in storyline. Natty deserved it. Natty deserved it. Natty getting in the face of Ronda Rousey. You know, oh, if that was me with the open challenge and Shayna Baszler, like, oh, shut the fuck up. Shayna Baszler just chokes her out. It was a little creepy because it went on a little bit too long. But seeing Shayna Baszler just choking her out, Shayna Baszler aligning herself with Ronda Rousey, that's going to help Ronda Rousey get even more over as a heel. That I am enjoying. And guess what? I'd have no problem with Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler being future WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. I'd be fucking fine with that. Better than Shayna Baszler with some of the other partners she had. Outside of Nia Jax, I loved the pairing of Shayna and Nia Jax. I mean, even though it has nothing to do with wrestling, I still will never forget that, what was it, a TikTok video? Who was dancing? I think it was Nia Jax and Lana, And then in the background, Shayna Baszler shows up and starts dancing. If you've never seen that video, go watch it. It's pretty cute. But I don't think Shayna Baszler is turning on Ronda Rams fan. I know a lot of people want to see Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey feud, but I think even more people would like to see them team up. Ronda Rousey is now going to be a full-blown heel. Aligning herself with Shayna Baszler, who is a full-blown heel, helps Ronda tremendously, especially if Shayna Baszler is like Ronda Rousey's henchwoman. You know, I could see, you know, because Ronda Rousey don't need protection. But imagine Shayna Baszler just being the henchwoman for Ronda Rousey. That's, I like it, man. I'm very, very excited for that. One other thing from yesterday, Karrion Kross defeated Madcap Moss. I said something like last night, I'm like, I'm watching Kross versus Moss with the boss as I floss after eating sauce and drinking Voss. Just having some fun. After the match is over, and for those that pay attention to like Conan's podcast and a few others, you know, one of the things, one of the criticisms that some people out there that don't like Karrion Kross, one of the things that they were throwing out there is that Karrion Kross can't cut a promo on a live mic. Like all of these promos that they show, it's always got to be pre-recorded. Oh, and speaking of a pre-recorded promo, something happened on Rampage yesterday that made me laugh tremendously. Yeah, we'll talk about it. Tyga Life? We'll talk about that in a minute. But after Kross chokes out Madcap Moss, he gets on the mic and he's calling out Drew McIntyre and Crown Jewel and what he's going to do to him. And, you know, Kross, excellent, excellent promo yesterday. And he even, like, gave a little compliment to Moss. He's like, hey, at least he didn't, you know, he fought me like a man. He didn't attack me from behind. But Kross calls out Drew for Crown Jewel. And then after Kross is done on the mic, he chokes out Moss a little bit more. Crowd, I'm not going to lie, was kind of dead to it. Got some boos. It felt like it was piped in a little bit, and I didn't like that. Sometimes I think a light reaction is better than what sounds like obvious boos being piped in. But I think that match at Crown Jewel is going to be one of the sleeper hits. I really believe that. So, but that was your episode of SmackDown yesterday. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey, we're right around Halloween, everyone. Michael Myers is sure scary, but something tells me that your balls might look a hell of a lot scarier right now. Luckily, our friends at Manscaped launched their fourth generation performance package. Show me the performance package. There you go. Have you ever tried to trim your balls and it turned into like a bloody horror film? Manscaped is here to save the day. Unlock your confidence with the performance package 4.0, the holy grail of men's grooming. I have this package, everyone. This package takes care of my package. It's a full moon out, everyone, and a werewolf in your pants is howling. Ow! Oh, I didn't write this. It's time to tackle that problem with the Lawnmower 4.0. They're finely tuned pube products. Feature a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to an advanced skincare technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 really is the greatest ball trimmer on the planet. The Performance Package 4.0 includes the Weed Whacker, a nose and ear hair trimmer. How many of you out there trim your nose hair, but you forget your ears? And then you go out to a club or a restaurant, and you go into the bathroom, and they have really bright lights, and you're looking at your face, you wash your hands, and then you look, and there's like a couple of hairs like sticking out of your ear. Can you imagine if your significant other just decides one day to suck on your earlobe and they get hair in their mouth? Has it ever happened to yours truly? I refuse to say. Anyway, seal the deal, everyone, with Manscaped's Liquid Formations, the Crop Preserver, their Ball Deodorant. Yes, they have deodorant for your balls. And the Crop Reviver. Remember, Manscaped has many other products. They just launched this body buffer. 100% antibacterial body scrubber is just what you need to keep yourself fresh, clean, and exfoliated. And if you want to pick up the Performance Package 4.0, you get free boxers. Yes, I have them. I will not model them. Thank you very much. And believe it or not, that newspaper, everyone, you do get that. True story. When they sent me a gift, even though I've bought products from them also, they sent me that newspaper and I threw it right in the garbage. I'm like, I thought it was like packing material. And then my now wife looked at the garbage pail, throwing something away, and she's like, what's this in the garbage pail? We save balls. And I said, what are you talking about? And I look in the garbage pail. I pulled the newspaper, added a garbage pail, and that in itself, my wife's like, ew, gross. You took something out of the garbage pail. And I was like, oh, fuck, this is a pretty cool newspaper. Package, cleanse, position. So if you're looking like Wolverine down there, and you haven't cut your nails recently, either make sure to look into the Shears 2.0 nail kit. They got so much shit over there, everyone. Get 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped.com. Enter the promo code DONTONY. Get 20% off. All right. Now we go to Rampage. And Rampage, you know, look, this was the lineup. Remember, Moxley and Claudio were supposed to team up originally against Parker and Menard. They changed it to Moxley in a World Championship Eliminator match. AEW is rolling with Moxley and Jericho wrestling on almost every show now, you know, trying to put that as ratings. I'm not complaining about it. I mean, Moxley is their MVP for 2022. But the card yesterday was Moxley over Menard in a championship eliminator match. We had Ty Mello over Madison Rayne. Keith Lee defeats Serpentico in about 5 seconds. Wardlow retains the TNT championship over Matt Taven. Now, let's fill in the blanks with some of the stuff that went down. Moxley beat Menard, and then something happened that I thought was fucking hilarious. After the match is over, Moxley is confronted by Stokely Hathaway and Lee Moriarty. I have nothing against Lee Moriarty. But Lee Moriarty, if you do a Twitter search and do it in real time, you will see like what I talk about as far as that fear of criticism, because the in thing, the in crowd, you know, the buzz online is to praise everything, AEW. And you got these people, Lee Moriarty versus Jon Moxley, LFG, OMFG. And I'm like, I have nothing against Lee Moriarty. I'd rather pull nose hairs out of my nose than watch Lee Moriarty taking on Jon Moxley next Wednesday. That is almost when Adam Cole cut that promo a long time ago, and he's like, you know, I'm going to start, you know, it's about me, and I got to start going for the championship, and my road to the championship begins this Friday when I take on Evil Uno. So Lee Moriarty comes out yesterday, and Stokely Hathaway is throwing the bad mouth to Jon Moxley. So Lee Moriarty, there's an open challenge issued for Lee Moriarty take on Jon Moxley next week. What was funny about it is Lee Moriarty is wearing a Taiga-style shirt. Now, if you don't know what Taiga style is, T-A-I-G-A, Google it. But the funny thing is, as you see on the screen right now, you see Lee Moriarty with his hands folded, his arms folded, and, you know, checking out Jon Moxley's response. You know, you're going to fight me on Dynamite? Moxley says, bring it. But what was hilarious about it, you got to go back and watch it. I promise you, you will look at it and you'll laugh. Lee Moriarty, I guess Taiga style, is you can't cut a live promo to issuing a challenge to the champion. They pre-recorded a video of him just cutting a promo challenging Moxley. That's all it was. I mean, if they didn't put Lee Moriarty on the stage, they should have just had him on the Titantron and say, hey, Moxley, make it seem live. They pre-recorded Lee Moriarty issuing a challenge, and while this is playing, Lee Moriarty is there live like this. There was no video package where we're seeing the career retrospect of Lee Moriarty and how serious he is and people who he's beaten, this and that. All it was a challenge to Moxley. And Lee Moriarty is standing on the stage, the video is playing, and the only vibe I got was, why aren't you cutting this fucking live? I mean, if people are going to make fun of Karrion Kross saying he could only cut pre-recorded pro, that was asinine yesterday. I watched that and I'm like, Tiger style, what the fuck is that? You can't cut a promo live, you got a pre-recorded. Can you imagine how many takes they had to do? They're like, all right, Lee, we're going to have you go on the stage rampage on Friday and you're going to challenge John Moxley and you're going to talk about Tiger style and everything like that. All right, do it now in the back. All right, take two. Moxley, on Dynamite, take three. All right, we got to pre-record this motherfucker. We got to pre-record this motherfucker. This guy mumbling over his words, you know. Lee, do you have lisp? What's wrong with you? No, no, no. Hey, Moxley, on Wednesday's Dynamite. How the fuck you pre-record a challenge? You're standing on the stage live, and he's like this. Awful. Awful. Keith Lee beat Serpentico in about 15 seconds. After the match is over, we're about to get an interview from Keith Lee. Hey, at Full Gear, Swerving on Glory takes on the Acclaim for the Tag Team Championships. Now, me, I like Keith Lee when he cuts a promo. Greetings and salutations. Blah, 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 blah. But before Keith Lee could say anything, yo, listen. They hit the ring. The Acclaimed and Keith Lee are in the ring. And before anything else could be said, Swerve Strickland is on the screen. He looks like a psychopath. He is talking about the Acclaimed, talking about their lost opportunity recently. And yesterday there was a lost opportunity also. I threw it out there. But you know how the in crowd is. Oh, why did I think about that? Someone else will write it now from the in crowd and get 10,000 likes out of it. We see Swerve Strickland looking somewhat like a maniac, like he should be on Patrol Live. If any of you out there used to love Live PD, if you're not aware of it, it is reincarnated as a show called On Patrol Live on Reels. I watch it religiously every weekend. So Swerve Strickland apparently kidnapped Daddy S. Billy Gunn. Now remember, Billy Gunn has a birthday celebration this Wednesday. So Swerve has Billy Gunn, I guess, either he's tied with his hands behind his back or handcuffed. But anyway, Billy Gunn has been kidnapped. And the next thing you know, Swerve reveals a pair of pliers. And let me tell you something. Swerve and Billy Gunn, as stupid as this segment was, thank you, Psycho187. It says, awesome show today so far. Thank you. As stupid as this segment was, I thought both guys killed it. Swerve Strickland looks like a scary-ass motherfucker. You do not want to double-cross that guy. He takes out a pair of pliers. I couldn't figure out the name on it. I think it said Gorge or something. But he took out a pair of pliers, and then they insinuate that I'm guessing he shoved them up Daddy Ass's ass. Billy Gunn sold it great. Swerve looked like a maniac. Swerve knocks out the light. My only problem with this segment, and I know what some people are going to say as soon as I say it, well, DT, that would be extremely violent. Let me tell you something. Shoving a pair of pliers up somebody's buttocks can kill somebody. What I would have done yesterday, I would have used a pair of scissors. How the fuck do you not use scissors in this segment? I know what you're going to say. Scissors are pointy, and it's like a knife. You're insinuating that you're shoving an object up somebody's ass. The Acclaimed, scissor me, Daddy S. Yeah, Daddy S, yeah, I'm going to scissor you. I'm going to scissor your daddy ass right now. Shove the fucking scissors up daddy's ass. Or we didn't see it. We don't know what actually happened. I don't know. Maybe he just took a piece of skin off of daddy ass's back. Maybe he just... Look, do I have a wrench? No. Well, I got this. Well, wait. You can't even see me right now. You can't see me. I got these. Maybe he just took it behind his back and then just grabbed the piece in. That shit hurts. That shit hurts. You know? Maybe he didn't shove it up his daddy ass. But you're going to insinuate shoving anything up daddy's ass. This sounds awful. You scissors. Scissors. Come on, AEW. It's not hard. Whatever. Anyway, he shoves them up Billy Gunn's daddy ass, and that was Keith Lee's reaction. Oh, my God, this is what I signed up for? That's a good meme. That's a good meme. But, hey, I like the segment. As stupid as it was, I liked it. But, again, if people are going to criticize WWE segments sometimes being way goofy and over the top, I'm going to throw this one back in your face every single time. You know, AEW is so much similar than WWE that people refuse to admit. So that's what we had yesterday. Ethan Page cut a promo on MJF. And remember, you know, actually Ethan Page said, enjoy your week off. So MJF may not be on this episode of Dynamite, but remember what I said on Wednesday. Do not be surprised if AEW does something where John Moxley cuts a promo that for 1 week I make a deal with the devil. We may see Moxley and MJF team up. I know everybody is running and reporting that MJF, that AEW didn't think they were going to do this, didn't expect to do it, but he is now the top babyface. Telling you. I can't see MJF being a babyface at Full Gear. I just can't. I just can't. We'll see what happens. So, Wardlow in the main event beats Matt Taven. It was a decent match. Matt Taven got a lot of offense in there. But afterwards, look at that crowd. Look at that crowd. These endings of Rampage are turning more and more into WCW Thunder. Because I can't tell you how many times Thunder would go off the air with a clusterfuck in the ring. This person shows up, this person shows up, this person attacks his. And, you know, more times than not, it's got a Ring of Honor influence now. After Wardlow beats Matt Taven, the Kingdom start beating up on Wardlow. Oh, here comes Samoa Joe, Ring of Honor champion, one of their champions. He makes the save. Then Powerhouse Hobbs comes out. And I'm really getting sick and tired of the announcers acting like we've never seen Powerhouse Hobbs before. I mean, I love Tony Schiavone, but you would have thought Hobbs made his debut yesterday. Look at how big this guy is. Yeah, we've seen him for 3 fucking years. I'm listening to this, and they're acting like Hobbs has never been out. Who's Hobbs? Whose side is Hobbs on? So Hobbs comes out, and before Hobbs hits the ring, the Embassy come out. So the Embassy, Hobbs, the Kingdom, they all leave Warjo laying. That's how they went off the air. It was just an absolute clusterfuck. It felt like a WCW Thunder ending. So that was your Rampage SmackDown yesterday. Couple other things we want to get into. Besides, I want to give a very special shout out to Nier. I appreciate the 15 spot, and I can't believe it's already 1 year, my friend. He lives in Israel, got diagnosed with Hodgkin's last year, kicked his ass, and he is cancer-free. And, yes, continued prayers for you, the Middle East, everything going on over there. You know, I like hearing good news. We don't hear much in my neck of the woods about the Middle East, you know, obviously with so much shit going on over here, but I always like to see good news coming from your neck of the woods. So very, very happy for you, my friend. Continued peace, much love. And I know a lot of people tuning in live have a lot of appreciation for Nier as well. So thank you, Nier. Big shout out. Big shout out to Chris Cutra. Thank you for the 20 spot, my friend. You go. Everyone complaining about the Ava Raines thing should look at it like this. She's in a group with some good workers and veterans, and the best thing for her to do right now is to watch and learn. This is the best for her. Listen. The lineup that we have coming with yours truly and JD, if you see the list of topics, three quarters of those topics, we know we disagree in our views. And I know when we talk about Ava Rain, we have a totally different view on this. I could only give mine, my opinion, and it's an opinion. What I say is not meant to be correct or incorrect. You view it however you want. But I agree with you that, you know, she is going to be around people. The grizzled young veterans have been around for a while. You know, yes, they are not household WWE superstar names, but being there live, coming around, walking with these guys, being in a group, picking her spots, knowing when to do things, it reminds me of Dominic Mysterio in Judgment Day. Now, the difference is Dominic Mysterio had 2 years of, you know, wrestling and being with his dad and being in some storylines. Not all of them are good. But now, Dominic Mysterio, in the Judgment Day, believe me when I tell you, I know a lot of you still are not fond of Dominic Mysterio's character. But I'm telling you, I am quickly becoming a big fan of Dominic Mysterio. I never thought I would, but that guy is learning from Finn Balor. He is learning from Rhea Ripley. He is learning from Damian Priest. He is finding his spots. He is finding his cadence. He knows exactly what to troll the fans with. He and Rhea Ripley work great together. I truly believe that, listen, sometimes people are paired with people, and some of the people in the group may not be all that thrilled about it. I truthfully get this vibe that Finn Balor and Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley are happy with Dominic Mysterio being in that group. It obviously, you know, big storyline with Rey Mysterio led to it, but you just get this vibe that he's learning from these people. And I think Ava Rain, it's not going to be on the same level. And remember, Dominic had 2 years head start being out there. You know, the beginning of COVID and not performing in front of live fans obviously helped Dominic a little bit. And the crowd noise was not there. But at this point now, I mean, it's as good as it could be with Dominic. I think Ava Rain, she will definitely learn. Being around a group of people and being around the same people and developing her character and not only being around those people, but watching the crowd, watching the other people, learning this, learning that. You know, there's nothing like being there in person to learn, not just from watching it on a TV. So, look, is it going to work? I have no idea. I have no idea. That's my biggest reaction to Ava Rain right now. Let's give it time. It's developmental. Let's give it time, and let's see where it goes. If it doesn't work out, I'm sure the fans, including us, will address it. But to crap on it before anything is developed, you know what the funny thing is? I'm trying to remember The Rock in a Nation of Domination. And I'm not comparing The Rock to her. I'm just trying to remember when The Rock joined the Nation of Domination. At that time, the fans were already hating The Rock. Rocky sucks. Rocky sucks. They hated Rocky Maivia. I mean, the blue chipper. They did not like the character at all. When Rocky joined the Nation of Domination, you had Farouk. You know, you had D'Lo, Godfather. You know, different characters. You know, gimmicks at the time. But my point is, you know, it got a little controversial early on because Farouk was pushing more about the race card. Remember, when the Nation of Domination was originally formed, it felt like it was more about race. That infamous promo that Farouk cut being interviewed with Vince McMahon, If you go back and watch the early days of The Rock being in that group, especially that night when Farooq cut a promo and focusing on race, pay attention and listen what Rocky's comments were right after that. Rocky kind of like moved off topic almost immediately. You could even sense that, you know, like it's not about race with him. And, but Rock just being there with Farooq and the other guys week after week after week after week, you know, just helped him tremendously. And he obviously broke out. The rest is history. So, you know, Ava Raine, we're not saying she's going to be on the level of Dominic or anyone else. But the point is, like, a lot of wrestlers do start or, you know, sometimes break out after being in a group. And we'll wait and see. We will wait and see. I want to give a special shout out to Strange Vision. Thank you for the 10 spot, my friend. Just hanging out this weekend. You know, no comments, just much thanks. Many thanks to you, my friend. All right. What else do we have to talk about? Let's see. We have, okay. All right. Let's talk a moment about Busted Open. All right. I don't want to cause any controversy here, but I got to bring something to the surface that no one has. And you decide for yourself if I'm onto something, because I believe I am 100%. Is Busted Open Radio provoking Tony Khan into trashing Eric Bischoff, WWE, and others? I will tell you why. I owe you all an apology. I owe you an apology. I really, really am sincere when I say this. This past Wednesday, I talked about comments that Tony Khan made a couple of days ago on Busted Open Radio about Eric Bischoff. And Tony Khan basically buried Eric Bischoff because of Eric Bischoff questioning why MJF and Wheeler Yuta were having a match, like about the build or lack thereof. And Tony Khan made these remarks. Now, Tony Khan, when he made these remarks Wednesday, I agreed with some of it. But there was something I did not know Wednesday that I know now. And when I heard it, it pissed me off. And I decided to do some research. I wanted to hear what Tony Khan said this past week. So I listened to it. What I realized is that Busted Open asked Tony Khan to comment about Eric Bischoff's recent words. Why does that piss me off? I'm going to show you why right now. I want to repeat a part of what Tony Khan said this week about matches in AEW with lack of build and him trashing Eric Bischoff. I want you to listen closely because after I read this, I have to bring something else up. Tony Khan said this week, and I quote, "There's this perception that every match on every show should have a long storyline build on why it takes place. It doesn't necessarily need to be the case for every single match. Frankly, the person who I think has been the most incendiary and contradictory and hypocritical on this entire point is Eric Bischoff. If you watch Nitros, especially the good ones from 95 to 98, a lot of the quality of the show was seeing lucha matches and things that you did not expect, and there was a certain randomness. You turn on the show and you see Rick Martel against Perry Saturn or Randy Savage against Bobby Eaton. Lucha matches that didn't necessarily have build-up. Sure, there were a lot of stories going on at the time, and that was fine. It was the industry standard. Then it really tried to copy its competition and put lots of story where every single match had to have two guys fight over a cup of coffee in catering. That doesn't need to be the case. This is the most important part. Sometimes it's as simple as a challenge of two people fighting to be the best." That was this past week. All right. I want to read you this. 3 weeks ago, October 5th, 2022. This is what Tony Khan said on Busted Open. Quote, "I see some of the stuff people say, and I always want to take anything in good faith from the fans. But I do see a lot of people adjacent to the WWE in bad faith talking about the lack of build. Well, there's a lot of build around a lot of matches. And it's also go back and watch an old wrestling show from the 80s and the 90s. And sometimes you'll see two wrestlers wrestling for a spot, wrestling for the win, the winner's purse. That is a trope in wrestling that needs to continue to be a thing. You could call it a cold match if you want, but sometimes things start out as new issues. Not everything is going to have weeks or months of build going into it." It is the same fucking comments he made 3 weeks ago. If you do a Google search, every couple of months, Busted Open asks Tony Khan about Vince Russo, Eric Bischoff, WWE, and about lack of build. Why is this constantly? 3 fucking weeks ago, Tony Khan said the same goddamn shit that he said this past Wednesday. And everybody reports that he buried Eric Bischoff. He addressed lack of build. He's regurgitating, reiterating the same thing. Why is Busted Open doing this? Is this intentional? Is Busted Open and Tony Khan that every few weeks, you know, ask me about lack of build so I could throw this educated answer and get to throw jabs at Eric Bischoff, get to throw jabs at Vince Russo, get to throw jabs at WWE. Why is this being repeated over and over and over? This is not the only two times he said it. Go look. Go look a year ago. Go look beyond that. When I listened to it Wednesday, I did not realize that Busted Open asked him the question. I just thought Tony Khan is just, you know, throwing it out there, provoking Eric Bischoff. No. Busted Open are the ones that keep asking him the same fucking question over and over and over and over and over again. And Tony Khan gives the same answer with different words in it. So I want to bring that to your attention because no one else in the media world is bringing this to surface, you know, but I am. But I am. Is Busted Open? They should know. 3 weeks ago, they asked them this shit. They asked them this shit 6 months ago. They asked them this shit 8 months ago. Why? I mean, Busted Open is satellite radio. These guys have been doing it for a long time. You don't think that, you know, that they don't in advance, hey, you know, I'm going to ask Tony Khan about, you know, the lack of build. Won't someone just say, wait a minute, didn't we just talk about this with him 3 weeks ago? Why are we bringing it up again? So is Busted Open doing this to intentionally provoke Tony Khan? Are they doing it with the intentions, with Tony Khan knowing that this is just another, making Tony Khan, you know, seem smart with the bat, addressing the build? Why are we hearing the same fucking answer? You know what that reminds me of? Hulk Hogan in TNA. Remember when Hulk Hogan for 3 years straight, remember when I played it on my show many, many years ago, for 3 years straight, Hulk Hogan did interviews and he talked about, you know, what he was going to do for TNA and what he was doing. He was talking about pushing the younger guys and so on. And he kept saying that if I can't get to turn this around, then I will take my ball and I will go home. And he said the same fucking thing year after year after year. And he just recycled it over and over again. So what I'm curious to know is this being recycled by Busted Open to just trigger Tony Khan into trashing people? Or is this something that Tony Khan and Busted Open have discussed? You know, hey, hit me with the build. I you know, Eric Bischoff opened his fucking mouth again about lack of build. Hit me with it today. So I could just say, and he's saying the same fucking thing. We just heard this 3 weeks ago. So I just wanted to put it out there because everyone out there is reporting it as if it's a new thing. You do a Google search and search hard enough, it's going to kind of like blow you away how many times this has been discussed on that show. And somebody's fucking around. Somebody's fucking around. So I figured I'd bring it to the surface. That is what you call investigation. So guys and gals, I'm going to start wrapping this up. We are at 90 minutes. So again, I invite you to join me tomorrow for the sit down with yours truly. It will be the entire show, with the exception of 10 minutes, 14 minutes, will be whatever you feel like talking about. You want to comment more about the Bray Wyatt, Uncle Howdy stuff, anything that we talked about today? You know, we will definitely talk about, you know, more with the CM Punk stuff. You know, Thursday is going to be interesting because what this media has done, as I said at the beginning of the show, what the media has done this week, they're just out of control. They're just out of control. And I'll leave you with this. If you look at the thumbnail for today's show, it talks about CM Punk being called the cancer of the locker room. Okay? Now, a few people sent this story to me, and I want to read you two quotes. And then I'm going to say something. According to AEW sources that spoke with Fightful Select, Chris Jericho confronted CM Punk after the fight. He went to Punk and slammed him for his actions. In fact, it is reported that the Ring of Honor world champion called CM Punk a cancer to the AEW locker room. I subscribe to Fightful, by the way. They're not, just me, I'm not shitting on, but I'm going to make a point. Fightful Select was told by numerous sources that Chris Jericho approached CM Punk, unhappy about the brawl, and again, detriment to the company, cancer to the locker room. Not just Jericho, but Dave Meltzer's report states many top names within AEW are not willing to work with CM Punk. Okay. You know what's missing in this? Two things. Number one, where in this does it say, as far as Fightful, we reached out to Chris Jericho for confirmation and received no reply? You know why that's not there? Because Chris Jericho, only about a month ago, went online as trying to be the locker room. Remember when I said Chris Jericho is going to be the AEW's number two? He's positioning himself to be the number two in AEW. Do you know why, what is absent with Meltzer and Fightful? And look, I respect, I subscribe to Meltzer's newsletter, and I'm a member of Fightful's Patreon. So I support them. But I also have to be honest and call things out when I feel it's needed. Not ripping anybody, but I want to make this point. Do you know why neither one wrote, we reached out to Chris Jericho for verification and received no reply? You know why that didn't happen? Because Chris Jericho, a month ago, went online and basically said, these people need to shut the fuck up behind the scenes. Stop leaking things to the media. Do you remember the meeting that AEW had? Stop leaking things to the media. Stop putting shit out there. That's why I don't go to Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho's got a podcast. Chris Jericho tweets. Chris Jericho talks about everything. If Chris Jericho wanted it out there that CM Punk is a cancer to the AEW locker room and detriment to the company, Chris Jericho would have said it. But you see, Chris Jericho is trying to keep this under wraps and trying to make things better. I know a lot of people think Chris Jericho's out for power. Well, guess what? He deserves to be in power because he's doing what someone is supposed to do. He goes out there last week and he says that the vibe, like you have 98% of good things in the locker room and the vibe is good and it's been shown on TV and, you know, not everything is negative. He's trying to portray a positive attitude and he's trying to get the locker room, stop leaking this shit. What do these people do? They're just throwing shit out there. They wouldn't go to Chris Jericho for verification because Chris Jericho would say, why the fuck are you putting that out there? If I wanted it out there, I would say it myself. So they're just throwing it out there for a grab, for attention, for a report, for whatever. That is awful, in my opinion. And look, on Thursday, JD and I will have a debate about the news media, about these outlets. Are they hurting AEW? Because Chris Jericho is trying to change the vibe and the perception about the AEW locker room, and the very opposite is happening. And they're throwing things out there, and you be the judge, everyone. You be the judge. Chaos, I really appreciate it. Thank you for the 10 spot. He can't fucking wait till Thursday. Yours truly, JD from New York. It is going to happen, everyone, this Thursday, 8.05 p.m. And listen, guys, don't forget, you know, I know it's a cheap plug, but I'm telling you, they have some awesome shit right now. You got to go to manscaped.com. Enter the promo code DONTONY. Get 20% off your order. Get free shipping. You know, we'll have some fun talking a little Manscaped tomorrow. But I actually just ordered some stuff for my dad. You know, I didn't get him anything to, like, shave his balls or anything like that. But I got him some deodorant, some soaps, you know, things like that. But, you know, definitely good shit there. So we'll definitely give a little Manscaped love tomorrow. So it's Halloween, everyone. So, you know, we all try to be scary, but, you know, you don't want to be scary in the bedroom. You know, you don't want to pull those pants down and hear some screams. And not because, oh, my God, it's so big. Yeah, you don't have to look like two, like, tiny versions. Well, we'll keep it clean today. So thank you, Chaos. I appreciate it. It's going to be a fun night Thursday. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to be on my channel. GMT, just on my channel. He is a guest on my show. So it'll just be here. And, you know, like I said, we're going to go. When I go like this, you could click the link and see the preview. We have a list of topics. And we're probably going to add a couple to it. Maybe tweak some of what's existing. But I promise you, every discussion we have is not only going to be stuff that's not going to get outdated anytime soon, maybe just the crown jewel predictions, you know, or maybe we'll just have a little discussion about it. But almost every discussion is going to be something that, you know, we kind of disagree about. You know, Alexa Bliss, Omos, Braun Strowman. So we're not avoiding anything. And hey, you know, like I said, you'll be live, so you'll be interacting with us as well. And, you know, as we said, if anybody sends any supers in, you know, if it's additional things for us to address, we will. So it's going to be a fun show, man. I loved the episode with Jason Salamonster. He is welcome to come back anytime. I loved the conversation with Joe Cronin. Did not think that we were going to mesh and gel that easy. And, you know, it is nice once in a while to have a co-host, especially those that, you know, like really stick to how they feel. You know, some of my previous co-hosts with that as well. You know, you stick to your guns. You know, one thing you'll be left with Thursday, I guarantee you, you'll be left with is JD and I are going to disagree on a lot of stuff. But at the end of the day, I respect what he does. He respects what I do, and we're all fans of wrestling. We all want wrestling to succeed. We all want to enjoy what we're watching. And, yeah, we can argue. We could, you know, agree, disagree. But at the end, you know, we all want the same thing, and that is just good quality entertainment. And Thursday, our intentions is to give everybody, you know, a fun show. And it's going to be good, man. It's going to be good. All right, everyone. Hope you can join me tomorrow for the sit-down. It goes live at 8.05 p.m. Eastern. And, yeah, once we have JD on, then we have to start thinking about Forbidden Door 4. So I have a few people in mind, but right now, JD, this is going to be something epic. So be well, everybody. My phone is ringing repeatedly. So, yeah, I got to take my parents out for lunch. 10-year anniversary of Sandy and, you know, what they went through 10 years ago. I'm sure it's probably hitting some big-time emotional strings today. So, got to take care of business. Be well, everybody. Much love.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.